If you hold back, then your congregation will hold back. In every phase of our work, we have people, and I find them all over the country, everywhere I go, that are absolutely eager to do something for God. They actually see the need of something. They really want to do something. They want to be a part of something that's moving. But I'm sorry to say that many of our preachers will not let them work in the vineyard. The problem lies upon the responsibility of the ministry and what we allow people to do. And so these people are saying, we don't have any work clothes. We have faith, but we don't have an opportunity to do anything. And so if we're going to have any kind of a program here, and we have people in this audience and our department directors who are absolutely able to carry out the work of God. In fact, they are very excited. I have never seen so much excitement among leadership in my life. If we can get this out to our people and realize that we can put work clothes on our faith and do something about this, then we can accomplish so many things that you've been looking forward to. We can have it right here in our midst. You know what our problem is? We are spiritually obese, stuffed and packed with gospel preaching. We are stuffed and packed with having church. Did you ever try to feed someone when they wasn't hungry? Brother Sam Warren, he's over in Rhode Island in a home missions work, came from our church. Brother Sam's wife, Barbara, can cook Mexican food. I remember one night after church, Barbara cooked up a lot of Mexican food, and so we ate it, and Brother Sam just ate until he couldn't hold anymore, and he said, I feel rotten. But he was so full until he just felt obese, didn't want anything else. I'm saying we have taken in, but many times we have not let out. We've been taking and not giving. We are, in many cases, stagnated, and we become bored, full of pills, like a possum that eats and then he likes to go to sleep somewhere. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. I read to you, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall were all broken down, and I saw and I considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instructions, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they won't as an armed man. What he's saying here, perhaps he had retired on his last crop, and he was satisfied with exactly what he had just produced. Still full at the last minute, folded his hands, and body language means, I don't want to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. I don't mean to do anything. Go ahead, chairman, tell us what to do, but we're not going to do it. Go ahead, preacher, and preach to us, but we're not going to do it. But if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we're not going to have anything. You know, it takes six live men to carry one dead one. And that's exactly what's happening. I'm not going to be down on you, but I'm going to give you some instructions. I told our church Sunday night, I am tired of a few of us carrying the load and the rest of you riding along free. I'm sick and tired of these fellows out here on the road hitchhiking. They don't believe in your society, but they'll ride in your society car and they'll eat your society hamburgers. And they'll carry on in the name of the assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no more organized than a rabbit. We need faith. with work clothes. In the 10th chapter of Luke, it talks about a man that went down from Jericho to Jerusalem. He fell among the thieves. Now, the world had treated him very badly. They had torn his clothes. They had wounded him. They had left him to die. And, of course, this calls for someone getting a little blood on their hands or someone getting down where he was. This called for work clothes. He was a mess. This called for getting your seat covers messed up. This called for buying a little gasoline that you didn't mean to buy. This calls for going to a few conferences that you really couldn't afford. This calls for chairmen out working their district when they could be home asleep. This calls for secretaries writing letters when they could be doing something else. This is a job. This is not a plaything. This is not second to nothing. We are an organization. Everybody say, we are an organization. Let me say to you lay members here, and you preachers in a district, please go home and vote for a chairman that will work the district. If he doesn't work the district, vote him out and get somebody else in. We cannot work with folks like that. You folks that are in these districts, vote for people to be the leaders of the district that will do something, not just sit there on an office and do nothing. We need some work clothes on these fellows. I remember Brother John Willis telling me one time about passing a house somewhere. I don't remember where it was. He said, I saw an old, he passed a house, went over a bridge maybe, and he saw a house off down here. And he said, something just spoke to my heart to go back and go down to that house for some reason. And he said, I turned around and went back to that house. And he said, when I got there, he said, I saw, I believe, a bunch of hungry children. In fact, I can't go through all the detail, but he said, I saw a need. When I got out of the car, they just swarmed him. And it was a terrible thing. But he said, I just went in there and tried to help those people. We need some folks that, not the hierarchy. We don't need the sophistication. We just need to break this thing down to where we can reach out for good people and good men and fellowship and love and kindness and try to win some folks to God and build an organization. Somebody says you have to be sticky organization to have an organization. No, you don't. You just have to have the love of God, and you have to have some rules, and you have to have some people that will abide by those rules, and you have to have some people that are loyal, and you have to have some people that like something that will stick with it and work for it, and you got it. I don't believe you can be saved unless you love souls, and I don't believe that souls can be saved unless you love them, and I don't believe you can do anything doing nothing. Ruth said, I'll glean, and the results of her labor, she had her hap full, her lap full. She had gathered some grain and had been able to feed her mother-in-law and herself. And so, could we not get hungry to see something done? Could we not get a burden for an overall work of God? Could we not unite in a closer labor together? Could we not realize that everybody's looking at us? Could we not realize that as an organization, that other groups are looking at us, outsiders are looking at us, even the White House is looking at us? And wouldn't you'd rather have something that you could be a little proud of? I don't mean fleshly pride, but godly pride, to know that we have put together a program. I'll say it before, I'll say it again. I don't mind being in something small, but I'd hate to be in something small and bad at the same time. Now, these are old Bible thoughts. But at Carmel, when Elijah met and challenged the prophets of Baal, now this was not a challenge of words, and this was not a challenge organization against organization, and you'll never get anywhere fighting some other group, and You'll never get anywhere fighting some other church. You'll never get anywhere low-rating someone else's ministry. The only thing to do is to do something for yourself. You can't talk about the Baptists until you get better than they are. And you can't talk about someone else's organization until we get to the place that we can show that we're doing something. But during the 18th or the 8th century B.C., Israel was infiltrated with idol worship. And it was very strange to Israel. And of course, the chief threat was the worship of Baal. And it was brought into existence by Jezebel, the wife of the king. That woman must have really been something. And Elijah, having a burden for truth and God's people, he thought it was time to have a showdown with this idol worship. So he sent word to the king and to the prophets of Baal, which numbered in the groves, and there 850 prophets of Baal, to meet him at Mount Carmel, and we're fixing to have a duel here. Now, you know exactly what happened. Victory came. When it was all said and done, Elijah prayed a very simple prayer. The fire of God came down, consumed everything on the altar, lapped up all the water. And the Bible said Elijah slew the prophets of Baal. Now, this was a tremendous victory. And, of course, that's great. But there were some things that went along with this that made this. A man may live in the decision of others. And he may let others persuade him. And he can listen and believe whatever he may, but there comes a time when we have to make a stand for something. Now, I appreciate what Brother Nathan Carroll preached last night. I don't know what you think about that. But I'm not interested personally in gathering in a bunch of folks that don't believe anything. I'm not interested in gathering in a bunch of charismatic doctrines. I'm not interested in bringing in a bunch of folks that we cause us to lose our identity, because godliness is still godliness, holiness is still holiness, and we still need to maintain, and I didn't know he was going to say that, but I was going to say this in regards to what he said. Sometimes there has to come a showdown. Now, Elijah, in this incident, called all the punches. He set the rules. He told them, he didn't let them tell him what to do. He told them what to do. One man, one lone, well-organized individual in the sight of God did a tremendous thing here. And so he did not let them tell him what to do, but he told them what to do. But I'm here to tell you that you don't go around telling the devil what to do unless you're organized enough to do it. And you don't go around as an organization telling folks what you can do and all that unless you're organized. You don't go around talking about organization if you're not organized. I believe in the word sovereignty. I like the idea that I'm sovereign. But you can't belong to an organization and be sovereign. You are absolutely, if you're in an organization, then you are organized and you are to respect the thing that you got into. You cannot act as an individualist. You cannot be independent and belong to an organization where men and women have come together and organized and agreed to do certain things. Then the only right thing for you to do is to do what you have agreed to do when you joined the organization. Hallelujah. And you can't operate it any other way. Some of you have never read the Constitution, I don't think. Some of you have never looked at the bylaws. You have never considered that only a little over 30% of our churches are giving to our mission program. In fact, only a little over 30% of our churches are giving to any of our programs consistently. That ought to make you cry. That ought to make you pray. That ought to make you say, oh God, I'm going to do something about that. That's the reason I'm saying go home and elect a man that will lead you right. I detest these fellows that take these offices and sit up there like a king on a throne and not do anything about it. I detest pastors that think they're too good to get their hands dirty. I don't like folks that won't work. And I'm not too good to work, and you're not too good to work. Praise God, this calls for work clothes, work clothes. Oh, yes, it does. The devil's not afraid of what you've got to say, but he's afraid of what you are and what you stand for. And you don't have to fight him. All you got to do is stand for the right thing, and it automatically produces the fight. Now, after that, of course, Elijah had let these prophets build them an altar. He told them what to do. He gave them a certain length of time to offer up their sacrifice and worship their idol gods. In fact, the Bible said he gave them till evening or till noon. Maybe it was noon. They screamed and they jumped up and down and they cut themselves and they cried. Sound like a bunch of so-called Pentecostal folks. We had some folks that's been coming to our church, two or three men on Sunday night. So last Sunday night, not this past Sunday night, but the Sunday night before was pretty dry. We had a pretty dry service. Wasn't much shouting going on. And Brother Hall, I just wondered if these fellows were going like this. Well, they didn't show up Sunday night. The shout, they wanted to shout, and we didn't shout, so they didn't come back. This is more than shouting. This is more than talking in tongues. The charismatics talk in tongues and smoke their cigarettes and wear their pantsuits and their makeup. But we're apostolic. And this calls for more than that. And you remember when Israel was carrying the ark, the Philistines had taken this, and as they were carrying the ark, Uzzah, when the ark got to shaking, the oxen almost fell. The oxen, he reached out and touched it, and he was slain because he put his hand to the ark. Folks, the Philistines could touch it, but not the church. There are certain restrictions that goes along with this thing. We're not just an ordinary kind of folk. We've got a commandment. We've got something to do. I'm going to say all these things. Go ahead and wear your mass carrier. Go ahead and put on your rouge and cut your hair. But you fool them with something that's going to get you in some trouble. Somebody said, oh, you preachers have got all these church doctrines. No, there's a Bible doctrine that's compulsory, and we have to live by it. And so help me God, I'd rather die than give up what I've stood for all these years. I don't want to see the organization infiltrated with this kind of a thing. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. That's the reason I got into this thing. You can say, well, we need to loosen up just a little bit because, there's some folks out there. Yeah, they're out there. and they want the truth, let them come. If they don't, let them stay. But you can't say folks like that. This calls for what calls? Hallelujah. We need to guard against our spirit. That's right. We need to have the right spirit, and we need to have a welcome spirit. But we need to guard our standards of a holiness in the church. We don't need the Jezebel. Martin Luther, in the midst of the Reform movement, said, "Here I stand. God help me. I can do no otherwise." And so we are in a position here to where we have to do something. It's not a matter of maybe so. I think we can go along. But this is an organization, an institution where people have coming. Men are hungry for good, clean fellowship. Women are hungry for good, clean fellowship. Something that's solid and strong that cannot be shaken. They're tired. They're tired of politics and Pentecost. Oh, yes, they are. They're tired of preachers breathing down their collar. They're tired of folks trying to tell them what they can do over things that does not amount to anything. We need a spirit that we can help some folks along, but we need to keep this right kind of spirit. And I'm talking about living for God in every way. So he allowed time for them to do their thing. And then he took the altar and he reorganized it, set it in order, of course. He organized his work. Very simple. Just very simple. Brother Pipkin spoke to us yesterday about preachers who would just take their tithing envelopes, put them in their pocket, open them at different times, all that kind of stuff. People who go to church whenever they want to, just whatever they want to do. Preachers who just go to conference whenever they want to, just take part whenever they want to, whatever. Can I say some more? Old brother J.L. Nugent was a great man. He was talking about a preacher that Brother Wilson would know very well. He said, I tried to get him to come to our convention over and over and over, and he just couldn't get him there. He said, I told my wife, you know how he used to do that? He said, I'm going to ask him to be the speaker. And he said, about time for the thing, he said, looked out the window, and here he came, had his Bible on his arm. These folks that can't go to things unless they're the main cheese. I think they ought to cheese at home. I know that's pretty rough, but I believe that. I don't really want folks up in our church trying to promote worship when they don't even worship themselves. I don't want to put folks up. You say, are you strict? There's a lot of things goes on that I don't approve of, but I'm telling you this. That I don't think you can promote anything putting people up that are not promoters and have lived it themselves. And these folks that just come to these conventions when they're the main speakers and all that kind of stuff and never see them, then I don't believe in that. I don't believe you can operate like that. And you may not like that, but I think that we need to be organized to realize that we can't. God recognizes that. I believe God recognizes order. I believe He sees our order. Sure, He does. It's just like visitation programs, knocking on doors. You may not get them out, but God sees your effort. Things may not work just exactly like you think, but God knows your effort, and He knows what to do. And I'm telling you that the devil will not buck against good, organized folks that have come together to worship God and trying to do things right. And people who do not, you never know, you folks that pastor churches, you can't build a church on folks that just, you don't ever know where they are. They come to church one Sunday, and next Sunday you don't know where they went. And they come around and get Did you ever, you ministers, did you ever come across a time, Brother Miller, when you just felt like we're just not organized? Everybody's going this way and everybody's going that way, and everybody's just loose and you just can't get it all together. You can feel that, and the spirit of the thing is bad, and you just can't get anything done. But when folks get it all together, then you don't have any problem. But you know, we're living in a day when folks just get scattered, and they got campers, and they got cars, and they got vacations, and some people just hunt reasons to go somewhere. And you know, you get a Sunday like that, and folks just scattered around all over the country, and you're trying to have church. It's just a bad situation, right? It's the same thing in an organization. I have traveled extensively this year. I have gone many, many miles. I have gone into districts where I considered where they needed help. I worked hard. A lot of them are not at this convention, didn't call, didn't say anything. Friends, we can't operate like that. I'm asking you to help me and help us to get some of these things going where people will be dedicated to what we're doing. I had rather have 5 dedicated people than to have 100 folks who just did as they please. You just cannot operate like that properly. So we need faith with work clothes. I've gone in these churches where they have these big fine churches, and I'm not against having big fine churches. And they brag about their debt-free churches and all that kind of stuff. I'm not against that. But no missionary program, no home missions program, no outreach program, no cooperation with the organization. That doesn't fancy me too well. But I've gone in some of these little churches where they had even 25 or 30 supporters. Brother Nathan Carroll went to Carlsbad, New Mexico several years ago. Just a little handful of folks immediately started cooperating in every way. And now there's a fine church there. You can feel the spirit of that organization. I'd rather have that than to have 5,000 of these floppers that run around and claim all this stuff. A lot of these people, as long as they can put money on a building, they can have control of it, and that board can run the church, then they can just have all these wonderful things, and you can walk around and see all the luxury and all this kind of thing going on. But that doesn't make a church. That doesn't make a strong people. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of this congregation I'm preaching to today. I know there's organizations that have more people, but I believe the folks that I'm preaching to today, you really mean business. And that means more than the 5,000 of folks. I heard Dr. Falwell say the other day that he had a plan to save America. Deceive America. He's not going to save America. You and I are not going to save America. And thousands of these people actually would think that this man had a plan to save America. And somebody said, look at the big thing that he's got going, a membership of 20,000 or whatever, 25,000, maybe more. I don't even know how many he's got. But I had rather have 100 people baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, God-loving, God-fearing people, than to have the thousands of people out there. And somebody said, we need to compromise a little bit so we can win a lot of folks. I heard a man some time ago in a conference. He said, I used to think in saving the 5s and 10s, and now I'm thinking of the thousands. And he let down his standard, and he had a worldly church. You can't win souls like that. We're not collecting numbers. We're trying to do a work for God. But we can't do it unless we all do it together. And so we need the fire from heaven. Elijah got the altar organized and built the altar. He built again the altar. Put everything in its right place. put the sacrifice on the altar. And then they dug trenches around the altar. They filled the trenches with water. And here this one lone man, well organized, well planned, faithful, true, blue man of God, who was not interested in power and prestige. As far as he's concerned, nobody knew what he was doing but those prophets of Baal, because Israel was afraid of him. They wasn't going to do anything. Stood by himself. He was confident. He had it all fixed. It was all planned. It was all organized. It was right. He knew it was going to happen. He had that faith. You don't have to worry anything as long as you can bring yourself together, get fixed, get organized, get together, work together. Isn't it a tremendous thing to know that I'm not alone, that I've got Brother Skinner over here, that I've got this brother here, that we've got all these folks together believing the same thing, pulling for the same thing, fighting for the same thing, working for the same thing. Isn't it a tremendous thing to know, not just because your name's on a card somewhere, my God, that's not going to save you. It doesn't matter. There's good folks. When we were in Washington, the last time I was in Washington, we met with some over 50 organizations, oneness organizations. And by the way, there are over 100 oneness organizations in the United States. Somewhere around 130 organizations, oneness organization. Individual organization gets the idea that they are the main ones and nobody else is going, then they're wrong too. When we got to figuring there are millions of Holy Ghost filled, one God, apostolic folks in this country, and when we figured this, there must be some six or seven million people in the United States that have been baptized in Jesus' name, or there are millions, besides the ones that they call independent that no one knows too much about, and besides the ones that are in the graveyard. So there's going to be a lot of folks that's going to inhabit that holy city when the time comes. Now, my figures may be a little bit exalted here, but I'm telling you this, that there's a lot of people that's trying to be saved. And we need to realize, but we have committed ourselves to the work of God in this field that we're laboring in. Now, some people like Big Star, and some people like Kroger's, and some people like 7-Eleven. We have chosen to be what we are. We have joined this particular group that I'm speaking to here. We have cast our lot to work in this field. This is a field of labor. This does not mean that we're isolated away from anyone else. This does not mean that we're better than anyone else. This just happens to be our field. If we don't work it, we won't have a crop. And so since we have elected to join this particular group, and we have joined together to do the work of God, for God's sake, let's do it. Let's put work goals on our faith, and we'll get something done. Hallelujah. We don't need to be stuck with a $12,000 a month missionary program. We need a $20,000 a month, and on until we can support missionaries and live comfortably. We don't need a little program somewhere. We need to put everything we can into this thing so we can accomplish something for the Lord. And then he got this all fixed. And then just stepped aside and prayed the simple prayer. He said, if you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, consume this sacrifice. And the fire of God came down. Burned up that sacrifice, everything on the altar. Lapped up all the water in those ditches. One lone man, well organized, well fixed, got that much power. Just think what over 600 ministers could do and over 300 churches and all you faithful folk could do if we just cast our lot together to really pull together to see what we can do. Let's shoot for the moon. Let's don't think little. Let's live in high expectancy. I quoted Brother G.H. Hammond yesterday when I was with the board. He said he was going to build a church one time. He thought he'd build it 80 feet long. And he said didn't have any money. A fella came along and said, why don't we build it 100 feet long? He said, well, since we don't have any money, it don't make no difference how long we build it. Somebody said, well, we're just a little old bunch. We're not a little old bunch. Praise God. We've got churches in 22 districts, and we're growing and growing and growing. And some of the finest people that ever lived on the top side of the earth, and some of the greatest preachers are in this audience right here today. And we have wonderful departments and men who are working hard that are well qualified to carry out the work of God that we're trying to do. All we need to do is get out of the 30% and get into the 100%. I want you to go back and tell your pastor, we want to get in 100% of this thing. I want you to tell your chairman, we've got to do something and get this thing going and put some work clothes on our faith. Woo, hallelujah. I want you to know that we have some of the most fantastic evangelists that you'll find anywhere in this world. I'm looking at some of them right here. Hallelujah. Young men dedicated to preach the gospel all over the country. We have some missionaries in this room. Brother Fishback's here. I see Brother Don Barber here somewhere. Great men of God. Not play purdies around somewhere, but men who sacrifice. Brother Don Barber came to our place several years ago, came from Brazil to the United States, rode on old buses. When he got to our place, he'd been on those old buses full of cigarette and cigar smoke. The little old fellow was so sick, got in the pulpit, vomited in his hand, put it in his pocket, because he wanted to say something about the work in Brazil. My God, we have people that are sacrificing out there in the field. These Wileys are here. They have sacrificed. Untold sacrifices have been made. And we pick around and say, oh, well, they're getting all this money. What are they doing with it? They're doing exactly like you are, putting it in the work of God, doing everything we can so that we can build something for God. Brother Steve Wilson just came back from Chile. He went down to minister at their convention, preached, I believe, three nights, and 341 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then we got a letter from Brother Fuentes a few days ago, and that number has grown to 600. Hallelujah. Tell me we're not doing something. I just got a letter the other day from the Philippines, just recently 45. Baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just got a letter from Brazil the other day, and they said that they were trying to finish up some work there, Brother Cunahiro, and my pop in this thing. I'm getting happy up here, and I'm getting all up beside myself. But anyway, I get to talking about this, but they needed some cement to finish up some work, and they didn't have the money to buy the cement, and he said, didn't know what they was going to do. They prayed, said a truck load of cement drove up to the house, and said the man said, I'm looking for this certain address, and he said, this is the address where the church was, and so he said, I've got a load of cement. And he said, well, it's not for us, and we didn't order it. We don't have the money to pay for it. He said, it's yours. It's already paid for. We just brought it out here to you. So we have people with faith that's believing God. We just need to get in the middle of this thing and get excited about it. Wouldn't you like for the sun never to go down on your work? Somebody sitting around said, well, we hadn't had anybody get the Holy Ghost in a long time. Well, we have. If it didn't happen at Gray Road, it happened somewhere, because we're putting the money out for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Somewhere right now, because of your church and your contribution to the work of God, there's a new church started somewhere. There's somebody getting the truth that never had it before, simply because you gave what you could, and you did it because you wanted to work together. I can't run a missionary program. I can't run a home mission program. But you and I together can put up a big thing, and we can do something for God together. We can do it. Hallelujah. If we'll put some work clothes on our faith, we can accomplish something in the kingdom of God. I'm about to close. But we have a young man in our church that went over into a suburb of Memphis the other day and wanted to start a work, Arlington. And we haven't talked. The church is supporting this and helping him there. Just opened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so Sunday night, his mother came running in the church after we got through. She said, "A lady got the Holy Ghost over there at that mission church tonight. That was the first one." She was so excited, just panting like that. My God, that swells your chest up. You think, the trouble of most of us, we want everything to happen just within our four walls. You hear these folks? "We baptized so many here." That's fine. But what about the effort you've made somewhere else? Hallelujah. I don't worry about folks getting the Holy Ghost. I don't worry about them getting baptized. As long as I'm putting something in and we're all doing something together, somebody's getting baptized. Somebody's getting the Holy Ghost. I want to quit, but I can't. But I'm telling you, every time somebody gets the Holy Ghost over that Crawfordsville, that's part of my work, because this is part of my work. Every time a new church goes up, that's my church, because I'm in this thing with all my heart. And then the Apostle Paul said, Colossians chapter 2, "Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order," I think I'm off, "and the steadfastness of your faith, as you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order." He was saying, "I like the way you've got this all organized. I like the way that you're operating. I like that." God sees that, folks. We preach Acts 2:38, and we preach all these things. But we forget that God sees our order. He sees if we're together or not. He sees if we're really doing what we're supposed to be doing. In closing, let me tell you again, you have cast your lot to be in this group. Let's promote it. Let's work it. Let's put it together. Put some work clothes on your faith.